Welcome to Add to Party, a friendship simulator masquerading as a new show. Mm-hmm. I'm your host, James Hartwell, and I'm joined by
Charles Jamot, and I'm joined by
Andy Kay,
and I'm joined by
a new guest. My name is Derek Kostiha.
Hey.
You're not a guest.
Well, I thought I was welcome here, but you learn something new every day.
Welcome is a weird statement. Required is a better statement.
No, yeah, it's,
it,
no.
Employees maybe a better way to phrase it.
Derek, yeah. This was voluntary. This wasn't under duress. There might have been the leverage of friendship.
Yeah.
And that's all was straightforward from the beginning, all laid bare.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Derek is joining our podcast for the seeming future because Charles has decided he hates Andy and me.
That's true.
With a passion.
It's true. Yeah.
Keeps me up at night.
I've seen the letters already.
Oh, my God.
The voice memos.
We spent a week at PAX together and he went, I'm fucking done with these assholes. No amount of wine skins could fix this rift in our relationship.
That's true. Monster Hunter now.
He hasn't even friended me on Monster Hunter Now yet.
Wow. I tried logging in. What's that?
Yeah, I did. I put it in Slack.
Oh, let's say I use Derek's code because it was.
I know. So did I. That's how Derek and I are friends.
Yeah, Derek is also friends with me. I am not friends with anybody else.
Derek is the connecting tissue between Charles and I.
Mm-hmm. You know, I installed Monster Hunter Now. And then it asks you for a friend code. And I was like, I don't have this. So I said, no. And then it said, are you sure? And then I uninstalled the game. Because it made me feel bad.
I can give you my friend code, Andy.
Well, it seemed like so much work. I wanted to play right then. But it wanted me to put in a code. And so I stopped.
But seriously, Charles wants to take a creative break from the podcast and I can't compel him to stay as much as I would like to. So, yeah, he's gonna head off. Maybe he'll come back someday. James says hopefully, but you know, I appreciate the time you have put into my weird little project, Charles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
no, almost 100 episodes.
Yeah, no problem.
You couldn't stick around for 100, asshole. Listen,
sometimes when you have to go, you have to go. The timing just can always be convenient.
Irish goodbye out of the podcast.
Listen, you know, I'm not going to get some popcorn and then say I'm bringing it and then just leave without telling anybody. You know? it's been a fun time. Just can't believe 2 years has flown.
Two whole years.
I'm sure Derek's going to do a great job, even for today. There's no guarantees about tomorrow, but you know, I think there's also a lot of good news, so this is gonna be a really fun episode. And it's been fun, everybody. We could talk later.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find Charles on his new podcast, I Hate Those Guys.
Well, funny you say that. I do have a burgeoning podcast called The Cozy Corner. It's gonna be a fun time. We just talk about really fun farming simulators.
There you go.
Andy should be on that one.
I'm not good at farming simulators.
I thought you loved them though.
I do.
Yeah, they're relaxing.
Harvest Moon wants you to mine a lot, and then I get burnt out.
Oh,
Derek, what was that dissent about?
Well, I thought you were talking about like the OG farming simulator, and not Harvest Moon. Harvest Moon. Made it as simple as possible.
Derek. The one where you drive a John Deere tractor across the field.
That is not the OG. What are you talking about?
It's pretty far up there.
It's the one named Farming Simulator.
I do not care, okay? Once upon a time, there was a cute farming simulator on the SNES, and you got your cows pregnant with, like, miracle medicine, I think it was called. That's how farming works.
Okay, but Andy, the disappointment wasn't at you. It was the disappointment that we wouldn't be able to discuss Farming Simulator.
Oh.
Okay.
Listen, we can do anything. It's our podcast.
Yeah, maybe Farmville comes up with a new game and all the midwives leave Facebook to play Farmville somewhere else.
Aw. Wait, midwives?
Oh, you know what? What do you call it? Housewives.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I didn't know.
I mean, midwives can play Farmville too. That's true.
That's true.
The gatekeeper, it seems like such a specific demographic.
That's true. That is very specific. Mm-hmm. It would have been fun. But it's all right. I'm going to leave you all to it. Mm-hmm. You guys have a great episode. And listeners, it has been fun. Don't let James retroactively say that I hated you all.
I mean, you are starting a podcast called I Hate Those Guys. It's a mixed message. But...
Don't listen to those guys. I hate them.
Here we go.
But all right.
It's only because I'm using anger to hide my sadness, as I should, as a man.
Hey, you angered away that sickness a couple weeks ago, James.
And I'm angering away my sadness.
You know, I watched a really wonderful video.
Let Charles leave.
Okay.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Charles.
All right, gentlemen, have a good time. We'll hear about this on this episode of Attitude Party.
Mm-hmm.
You sucker.
That's fair. Goodbye.
Bye.
Can we sing the Sound of Music song?
Which one?
Oh, shut up, Derek. You know what I mean.
The one about a doe, a deer, probably.
No. Yeah. Oh, my God. No.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about.
Sitting on the staircase, and the children are going to bed, and they say goodbye in all those different languages.
Yeah, Charles is gone. No. Now we can talk about musicals all day.
Well, listen, Derek. No, I wanted to make my very... Oh, sorry.
Nice try, Derek. Derek. I didn't prep you on this, and I apologize, but do you want to give maybe a brief overview of your gaming background and your preferred genres?
Sure. That sounds wonderful. So, gaming started for me with Halo 2. Aww. Before then, I was an outside kid. I'd come back when the lights started popping up, or I got hungry or thirsty. Sure. And then...
I did both, you coward.
Well, yeah, Halo 2, Call of Duty, that's what raised me and developed my love for social games over any specific genre. I play games to play with people, to connect with my friends.
Aww.
So the only game I've... So the last two games I've played outside of that purpose is Elden Ring and Armored Core 6 and Yakuza, those three.
Yeah, I kind of remember you playing Elden Ring. When did you play that? Did you play that after we played it?
No, I played it on launch.
I think he was playing. Even I remember that game.
Oh, I'm a bad friend, so this is well established. This is why Charles left.
That's true.
So, coincidentally, your absences near Elden Ring's release made a great time for me, Charles, and Alex, and everyone else to play together in a call.
Oh, that's right. Well, I mean, we were playing on a call together the first night, but after that, I left my own way into the lands between.
Wait, Derek. Okay, this is a bit of a revelation because I didn't know you were a COD bro. How long? For how long?
All of high school, because that's what we would do after school. We'd get in the Xbox chat and we'd play.
But you were one of the good ones, right? You kept it real PG, right?
Derek, be honest.
Don't incriminate yourself on a public podcast.
It was a different time.
Yeah, all right. Mm-hmm.
And Xbox
has a real fighting game community energy to it.
No, Xbox has refused to release the chat records and logs to the government, okay? Xbox has got my back.
Alleged.
But I did a mini a tea bag back in the day.
Okay, sure.
I mean, that's just good fun.
That's just good fun.
Yeah. We have actually a lot to talk about today. So I apologize, Derek. You won't get the fun of us bantering for 20 fucking minutes. It's a slow news day. It's not slow. It's, in fact, pretty big. And coming off our 2.5 hour fucking podcast last week.
Oh, my God. Thank you all for absorbing all that very important hard-hitting journalism.
Downloads have actually been pretty good on that.
Ooh, let's go.
I think breaking it up was actually the smart move.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
But yeah, we got three stories to talk about, and one of them is
what?
Unity, the game engine, decided to blow itself up this week.
That's true.
So if you're unaware what Unity is, Unity is a game engine. If you want to think about that, it's like you may have heard of Unreal Engine, or which Fortnite runs on, or the Creation Engine, which Bethesda games run on. And it's basically kind of the system that allows games to do all their physics and quests and all that fun shit. Unity was a fairly easy to pick up game engine that really catered to indies and mobile games. In fact, such notable Unity games are Genshin Impact, for one, Among Us, and I believe Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl were also built in Unity. So it's got a lot of, it goes up and down from like the highest of the highs to the lowest of the lows. People have always, it was Hearthstone built in Unity. It might've been.
Well, let's stop outside of the standalones, the peaks, just for reference, they make up 30% of the gaming market share total. And I believe they make up 70% of the mobile gaming market share.
Wow. Yeah.
It's a, it is a super friendly engine, all things considered. And they have, and game engines have different pricing models. Unreal, I don't have exact numbers on, but I think we were talking about it maybe a few weeks ago, but something like Unreal usually does something like 5% of your revenue. So it has slow upfront costs, but it takes pieces on the back end. Unity traditionally took kind of a larger upfront piece, but had nothing on the back end. So you just had to pay for a Unity Pro license upfront, and then the game was yours. However, last week, Unity was like, hey, guess what? We're going to change our pricing plan. And go.
So, slight correction. They're not, they're updating their pricing plan. It's no longer will there be a Unity Plus. That's users are being given a full year at Unity Plus pricing for Unity Pro. And Unity Pro is currently $2,000 a seat per year for the companies, and it's estimated to be close to $5,000 a year for the enterprise.
I got you, Derek. So here you go. On January 1st, 2024, Unity will start charging developers a new Unity runtime fee that will apply every time a game is installed after a game passes minimum revenue and install count thresholds. For users of Unity Personal, which is free, and Unity Plus, those thresholds are $200,000 over the past 12 months and 200,000 lifetime installs. After those numbers are surpassed, developers will have to pay Unity 20 cents per install. Higher cost versions of Unity have higher thresholds and lower pre-install fees. So yeah, it, there's a table I'm looking at here essentially where Unity Pro, so yeah, Unity Personal and Plus, you have to break 200,000 on both revenue and install. From for install, it's the entire life of your game. For revenue, it's the last 12 months. For Pro, it's $1 million in the last 12 months and 1 million installs in the life of your game. And Enterprise, similar numbers. So here's the thing. on paper, right? Sure, fine. Companies change their pricing all the time. That's okay. Unity kind of dropped this in a tweet. Yeah, more or less. And they, and I assume they also probably sent out an email to all of their the licensed users on that as well. But yeah, the, how I think the majority of people found out this was a tweet where Unity described this described this functionality. And what kind of fucked people over was that it says this supersedes all previous agreements, which is kind of a little scummy. Usually when you sign contract agreements like this, things stay in, both parties have to agree to changes to agree, to make the contract change. Unity was operating on the field that they can change their contract at any time, which some companies do hold the right to do. But the internet, however, blew up about this. Inner Sloth, makers of Among Us, another Agro Crab, another creator of Another Crab's Treasure, Massive Monster, makers of Cult of the Lamb, Devolver Digital in general, Landfall Games, Totally Accurate Battle Simulator, Gary Newman, the creator of Gary's Mod and Russ. Let's see, anyone else? Kat Manning of Firaxis, co-founder of 3D Realms, George Brassad, and Megacrit Games, makers of Slay the Spire. You know, pretty big names, more or less, in the indie and double A scene.
I'm basically sure going bigger names couldn't comment, right?
Oh yeah, I'm sure. Like, I'm sure the Among Us's and, or actually not Among Us because they did, but I'm sure like the Genshin Impacts and the Pokemon Company were like, no.
Yeah.
So they've all basically coming out saying, this is fucked. You didn't discuss this with us at all. And frankly speaking, your rollout of these changes is very weird and not well explained. How is Unity going to track installs? Is this going to count demos? Is this going to count reinstalls? Is this, you know, there's a lot going on here with this. Does this count web games like Among Us you can play on the web? Does every instance of people opening Among Us on a web count as an install?
And pirating also. Tracking pirating.
Yes. They did post a clarification tweet afterwards about this, which I lost it. Oh no.
From what I remember, it still wasn't like that great.
No, like, here it is. I got like, it.
Trust us, basically.
Yeah. They posted a follow-up on September 13th. We want to acknowledge the confusion and frustration we heard after we announced our new runtime fee policy. We'd like to clarify some of your top questions and concerns. Who is impacted by the price increase? More than 90% of our customers will not be affected by this change. I'm abbreviating some of this. Fee on new installs only. Once you meet the two install and revenue thresholds, you only pay the runtime fee on new installs after January 1st, 2024. It's not perpetual. You only pay once for an install, not an ongoing perpetual license royalty like a revenue share model. How we define and count installs. Assuming the install and revenue thresholds are met, we will only count net new installs on any device starting January 1st, 2024. Additionally, developers are not responsible for paying a runtime fee on reinstall charges. We're not going to charge for reinstalls. How they know it's a reinstall, they haven't said. Fraudulent install charges, we're not going to charge a fee for fraudulent installs. We will work directly with you on cases where frauds or botnet are suspected. And if we decide that it's not fraudulent, even though it could be, you're still going to make you pay. That's me opinionating on that.
Yeah.
Trials, partial play demos, and automated installs are not going to count towards your install count. Early access games are not considered demos. Web and streaming games, we are not going to count web and streaming games towards your install count either. Charity-related installs, the pricing change and install count will not be applied to your charity bundles and initiatives, which this is like a lot of developers on, say, itch.io or Humble Bundle, who's like, hey, throw our game in there for charity. And, you know, maybe the game was sold for like 5 cents.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly they have to pay 20 cents mm-hmm. for that install. They still haven't really said how they're going to do this. I assume it's based off something like a MAC address or something like that, which then also gets into this weird thing of how much data is Unity collecting when it runs on your computer, which is not also ideal.
I think they also charge you, say, if I install it like on my desktop and then a laptop, like correct. They will charge you twice.
They will definitely charge you twice for that.
So it's like, you can't. So,
Phrasing. They're not charging you, Andy.
Yeah, that's true.
Thank you.
They're charging the game companies.
Well, yeah, they did also at one point come out and say, oh, no, actually, you know what? Maybe it won't be going to developers. We're actually going to put this charge on Microsoft, Nintendo, and Sony, in which case, laugh that forever.
Oh, that's never going to happen.
In no way will Microsoft, Nintendo, and Sony pay a license fee to someone they have no contract with.
Yeah.
So I will bring up that they potentially do have enterprise accounts with them and Valve as well. Well, Valve less likely, but
it's Microsoft, a developer license, not necessarily a distribution license. So it would be different.
Yes, but these companies have in-house development studios. And they may not be based entirely on Unity, but they still may have enterprise accounts and
using. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's basically, you know, any development studio, right? It doesn't matter if they're Microsoft or Sony. I think what they were saying was essentially that they're going to shift the burden of paying the fees
to the distributor. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, no, it's not going to happen. Yeah. It's just, man, another thing too, which is fun. I don't have the gentleman's name escapes me. The former CEO of EA, the one that everyone hated, is now the CEO of Unity. Yeah. The one who basically took EA down the dark path.
Ooh, the dark path.
Yeah, when they were just so heavy on microtransactions. Mm. They still are, but they're slightly better now. People are being like, yeah, here he is doing it again. I don't know. I think there is there's another thing too, where it's like, hey, Unity needs to change their business model because they're not making enough money. Perfectly reasonable.
Yeah.
But I think it's also on them to both A, communicate with their biggest partners and have them come out in hand to say, hey, this is our new pricing model. Here's everyone who agrees to it, you know, to say, hey, we were talking about this and it's a fair shake, but just dropping it to like everyone and being like, oh, we're going to do this. Okay. Maybe we won't do this. No one's going to stay on Unity. Everyone's now deciding to reevaluate their relationship with the Unity engine and potentially move to other ones.
Oh, for sure. Like it's God, the way it was. And as I understand, the reason behind them making such a drastic change is to target, because Derek, you called out that 70% of mobile games are built on Unity.
That is their current market share, yes.
And then mostly every mobile game is free to play. And so you're going to get all these installs and they're just going to they're basically going after mobile free to play market. And they're going after the Genshin Impacts and the Pokemon Goes and all of these. And they just want to rake in all that money.
So James told me to prepare hot takes, and I have one concerning that.
I absolutely didn't say that, but go ahead.
He said that verbatim. Derek, I want to hear it. Go in.
Okay. So Unity is currently operating at a loss.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Correct?
Yeah.
So video game revenue all last year was about 347 billion USD.
Mm.
Now, on the similar hand, mobile ad spend was 336 billion USD, up 14% from the year before, and 250 billion of that was gaming mobile ads specifically. So the lion's share.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if the game industry or gaming journalists were going to mention it, but they also bought an Israeli-based firm. What was their name again?
Is this the same one that X is using?
I don't believe so, but essentially they bought Israeli firms. It's a company that's specifically investigating and researching mobile ads. And Unity itself has an ad department for mobile.
Yeah, yes, they do.
Yeah.
In protest, actually, a lot of developers stopped running their Unity ad spends
I very much doubt that, because their market share was 0.13% for mobile ads.
Well, not necessarily. Well, I don't know how much in terms of overall, but certainly there is a percentage of developers who have signaled, hey, we are going to turn off ads in protest of this. Correct. Can try to find the number.
But yeah. I just want to go to Unity's own page and read a section underneath the table that you were referencing from another article.
Yeah.
Fee reduction for use of Unity services. Qualifying customers may be eligible for credits toward the Unity runtime fee. Everything that we've been discussing, the up to 20 cent per install, based on the adoption of Unity services beyond the editor, such as Unity gaming services or Unity level play mediation for mobile ad-supported games. So if you are in the lower end for this installs per month past the threshold, then it makes a lot of sense to adopt the Unity ads and essentially come out even from this change.
I mean, yeah. And again, I don't think necessarily changing their business model is not allowed, right? Companies are allowed to change their business model. I get,
and I would argue that they're not actually. So, well,
they're changing their pricing model.
They're changing it on one aspect of their business, but outside of the Unity engine that they support, they also support architecture, construction, automotive, manufacturing, energy, aerospace, and film creation.
We don't care about that, Derek. This is a gaming podcast, baby.
I didn't know it was used outside of.
I mean, it's a super useful engine. If you're trying to develop a GUI, like it's real good for that.
I've never used Unity, so I don't even know what it looks like.
I mean, it looks like whatever you want it to look like to a certain extent.
That's fair. But so, Derek, is then what you were saying that if like people turn on the ads that Unity serves versus some other service, then the install cost goes away?
No, they get credited from the ad revenue. And
oh, my God. Okay.
So it's basically like, hey, if enough people, the ad can make up for the install cost. And I don't agree. Well, I have issues with them trying to go off installs and not saying exactly how they're going to track it to a minute detail, because really that is what people are missing with this. Like they have to come out with receipts to be like, hey, this is how installs, we have this system in place, this is how we're going to do it. I think if they came out with that, that would go a long way of, you know, assuaging a lot of people's concern. But to come out with a very half-baked press release to say, hey, this is what we're doing, trust us, it'll work out, people are not going to take that. And even if you recant on it, they're not going to trust you ever again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just bad business. I mean, it's like I said, again, right, they should have worked with their biggest revenue shares and then talk to them. And then it could have been a discussion of like, well, the big guys, this works, but the little people fucks over. And we could be having a different discussion. But this one is just like, well, you just managed to piss everyone.
Yeah. Literally everyone. And it's such an unreliable way to predict costs. Like, it's, I don't know. It would be so scary because at any time I could get a new computer and install it, and then the game dev is pinged another 20 cents, right?
Andy, what if I made a script that spins up a Linux VM, installs the game, closes it, spins up another Linux VM, installs the game over and over again? That's
the thing. People could exploit this, and then they're like, well, yeah, we'll find bots or whatever, but then you have to open a support ticket or something, right? Yeah. Like, and then they're not going to respond. Like, I was reading accounts of like devs that currently work with Unity, and they're like, right now they don't even have the infrastructure to handle any type of communication that they say in terms of handling like pirating or misuse or something like that. Will they scale it up? I don't know, but no one trusts them. No one trusts them.
It and seems weird that they would be trying to scale up when they're already having profit and revenue issues.
I just don't understand. I feel so bad for the devs. I'm going to have to defer to their anger, because I just don't know how any of this works, right? But a lot of people are scared. And so right now, and I think, Derek, you called it out, like, it literally is, you only pay per seat. You only pay per license. That's the only thing that Unity takes.
Yeah, it's a yearly subscription. I'm sure their enterprise contracts are slightly different. But for the small indie devs, they're paying around $2,000 a year per dev, too. And that's where Unity is getting their supposed cut.
Sure.
Yeah.
And that sounds like a cost that could explode, but would be hard to predict. I don't know. I'm wondering, should they just move to like a revenue share? Just like, you know what? If you made over, you know, they like, what was it? 200,000. If you made over 200,000, we'll take a 3% cut or something. We'll be cheaper than you, or Epic or
Unreal.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Unreal. We'll still be cheaper. We'll be cool with the indies, but we don't make money and things cost money.
Yeah. So. And that's the thing. Again, it's like, here's the thing, and it's like, I think this gets lost in like the fervor of like, fuck late stage capitalism. Yeah. You know, it's like Unity is a good product. Like, it is, by all intents and purposes, like from everyone I've heard who's developed with it, it's good. And it's easy to use and it's easy to learn on. Like, I think a lot of people have talked about using Unity as a gateway to game design because it's so easy to use. So it's, it, you know, it's like, I'm sure it's very frustrating for Unity to be like, fuck me, we're this ubiquitous thing and we're having all this solvency trouble. But also, you can't just piss away your goodwill because it's
gone.
You're gonna, it's so easy for people to come out and just be like, all right, well, I'm never gonna trust you again and I'm gonna leave. And that's basically what people are doing. There are two open source alternatives that people have been talking about switching to. Godot and FNA, I believe, is the other one. And I mean, like, in this is not just like internet, pan rattling. Like, the Cult of the Lambs devs say, we're deleting our game from Steam on all platforms on January 1st, unless this goes away.
So, and for anyone who thinks they're just throwing a hissy fit, my napkin math is after at 1.7 million units sold, not everyone is going to re-download it, so I put it at a little bit above 2.2 million, but they're going to be charged almost $200,000 if half the people who bought it installed it twice and the rest installed it once.
Well, there, the reinstalls. We won't.
Yeah.
God forbid no one ever changes their motherboard.
Yeah.
That always pisses me off so much when I change my motherboard and everyone's like, this is a new computer. I'm like, it's not.
Well, quick call out, James, to the Cult of the Lamb one. Yeah. I looked into that and they posted another tweet that was a joke.
Oh, were they? Okay.
Which every headline out there said they were deleting it. And then and then I was like, no way. And I went and they're like, you guys actually believed it. LOL. So I was like, okay, they're goofing, but they're still mad.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money.
Damn them. Yeah. That's weird. That's a weird joke to make.
Yeah.
Either way, I don't know. It's still, I'm sure some devs will choke it down, but
yeah, some of them can afford it. So
Oh no, go ahead.
I think I was only just going to repeat. It's just so unreliable and scary. You cannot build around that. Just take a cut of the revenue. Why are you trying to be clever? Did they think they were clever?
I'm sure they thought they were clever.
Seriously, I don't. Oh, I guess because they're trying to get the mobile market.
Yeah,
they can get.
I mean, that's the thing. Everybody really only cares about the mobile
market. Yeah, they only care about the mobile market, and everybody's downloading this for free, so they're just getting money after all these. They would have gotten. I don't. Is Monster Hunter now built in Unity? They would have gotten money, and then I chickened out because they wanted a friend code. That's too much.
Pokemon.
Work.
That's really. It's Pokemon Go built in Unity. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Pokemon Go is built in Unity. I assume if Pokemon Go is, then probably Monster Hunter now.
Just take a cut. Now, I don't know how any of this works. I don't know how easy any of this is, but they goofed, and so wait, Derek,
yes.
Are you licking the boot then?
No. So while they are making what I think is a good business decision for their own company, they did it in the most ass backwards way and just created enemies of the entire internet.
Yeah.
Based on this.
But it's like they don't know who they're. It's like they're just like, hey, we don't have to care. It's like they don't realize the industry they're in.
This is just more proof that the people at the top are idiots. Like, they're just dumb. Anyone could have seen this a million miles away. Or they did see it and they only saw dollars. I don't know. But they did release a statement saying, hey, guys, sorry about that. We're going to go back and try to figure it out. And in a couple days, we'll give you an update on how we're doing it. So they're starting to roll back. But by roll back, they just mean saying we're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
But the damage is done. And I would not blame anyone for ever wanting to build their next game in Unity. But how is Genshin going to not use Unity?
Well, here's the thing. Genshin is also, Genshin's owned by miHoYo, which I think is miHoYo owned by Tencent.
Probably. I believe they've got a share.
But I mean, Genshin Impact has its roots firmly in China. And if you think you're going to make China do anything, you haven't, they don't give a shit.
That could be.
Yeah.
Well, screw Unity. It's pretty sad because it was a pretty important tool and made it accessible for a lot of people. And greed got in the way.
Yeah. Greed got in the way. I don't know. We'll see. They could turn it around. It could be better. But I mean, it's just... they're never going to get back that goodwill they had of just everyone being like, yeah, Unity's the engine. Everyone's like, maybe do Godot now.
Yeah.
So I think time will tell, because Unity is truly powerful, which their free and student versions have proliferated for years. Sure. They've got a user base of people who like Unity. Yeah. So it's ultimately going to come to how much does that cut into their bottom lines?
Derek, how much do you know about Unity?
I can't speak of any of the things they use in the factory because NDAs.
Oh, okay. I was just saying, I was just looking it up. It's based off C# and C++. That's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get at. And I was like, I couldn't remember. I was a C# dev back in the day.
Ooh.
Just a weird person.
No, you would have been the weird person if you kept it up.
Listen, you leave me in a telesense alone. I know the first three letters of thousands of lines of code.
You work efficiently.
That's right. Well, let's stop talking about how the game industry is killing itself, and let's talk about how the game industry is propping itself up. Ooh. Because there were two conferences last week on the same goddamn day.
On the same day.
Slightly different time. Okay, they were looking out for you.
Thanks, Derek.
Yes, there was a Nintendo Direct and a PlayStation State of Play on Thursday, the 14th. I think it was Thursday. Yeah, probably. Thursday the 14th. And let's recap those. You know, Charles isn't here. I'm just off my game.
And I guess here's where I can just let the viewers know. Team Nintendo 100% here. So looking forward
to the Nintendo boy?
After Xbox and Switch. Sony. That doesn't mean I can't support them. Microsoft and Sony. Microsoft and Sony have done the industry dirty for years now. Which
I mean, that's fair. It's just them trading off on who gets their greed too big back and forth.
And then Nintendo's just sitting there like, you want Mario? You want Splatoon? It's like,
you want Luigi's Mansion 2?
In HD? Yes.
But let's, I think the Nintendo Direct was slightly better and more interesting. So let's start with the Sony's State of Play. That's right. I'm holding the good content for the end of the podcast. let's see. So there is a bunch of announcements. Resident Evil 4 Remake getting DLC and a VR mode coming later this year. I think we already knew about the VR mode. DLC, I think, was also already known. Helldivers 2 is got a launch date, February 8th, 2024. They did a fun little deep dive of Marvel Spider-Man 2 about how the switching between characters work and a lot of how the extended New York map. It kind of looked like it's actually going to be kind of GTA 5 like, where you just kind of switch back and forth to where Miles and Peter are on the map, which cool. Like, that's cool. And also just how they've added more or less the entirety of Queens to the fucking map. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, again, Spider-Man 2 is Spider-Man 2 to a certain extent, right? I don't know. If you don't want to play Spider-Man 2, I don't think any amount of trailers is going to change that mind for you. If you didn't like the first Spider-Man game, you're certainly not going to like the second Spider-Man game.
Yeah, but to those people, I have to ask, do you have no soul? Do you not like to sling it on webs and riding around the city?
I liked it. And I don't usually like big action games. But I loved the first Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So gosh darn fun.
And then before the big, big announcement, there were just a couple other little ones sprinkled about. Roblox coming to PS4 on October 10th. I'm only saying that because it's making me laugh. Ghost Runner 2 had a demo that's released as of the time of that state of play, ahead of its release next month. Ghost Runner 2 is a great, great game. It's a first-person platforming game. Or Ghost Runner 1 was a great game. Ghost Runner 2, based on what I've heard from the demo, I haven't got a chance to play it yet because I'm playing Starfield still, and I still have to play Lies of P and finish Armored Core and finish Baldur's Gate 3.
Oh, my God.
And the Cyberpunk DLC comes out next week.
Oh, that's right.
Fun for James. Yeah. Tales of Arise got a expansion announced, Beyond the Dawn, which will be coming out on November 9th.
So is that a sequel or?
It's a X-Pack. So it's a DLC.
Yeah. So it's going to be likely 10 to 15 hours of gameplay if you milk it.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a pretty
good I really love Tales of Arise when I play it. I think Tales of Arise is maybe even slightly better than Final Fantasy 16, except for the icon battles. But yeah, it's. I didn't expect that. The Tales series doesn't always do like, or very rarely does like story DLCs. They usually just release like kind of like Tales of Berseria 2 or something like that. That's it's weird. So this is kind of new for them. Be interesting. Honkai Star Rail, the other game by miHoYo, is coming to PC on October 11th. And Foam Stars, the Splatoon game that apparently people like, but I don't understand why, is getting an open beta between September 29th and October 1st. So maybe we will try it and see if we have to eat our words.
I got to play it with one of the people at PAX.
Oh, did you play it at PAX?
Mm-hmm.
How did you feel about it?
Mm-mm.
Oh, do you like Splatoon?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's I'm okay. You know, you play like two quick rounds. I can't walk away, you know, giving a full judgment of it. But the weird thing is that it's basically like Splatoon, and explaining the mechanic in Splatoon, you just throw ink on the ground and you're a squid, so you can swim through the ink, and it's fun and fast and blah, blah, blah. In Foam Stars, it's like you shoot foam, so there's another like dimension to it. It can go up, and then it just makes everything awful because you have all these awkward terrain and you're running into it and slowing down. It just felt so bad. But I'm also bad at games.
So. That's true. The one developer did tell you that.
Yeah. I actually had several.
Oh,
there were several developers. In a playful way. We were joking. We were joshing.
They weren't.
But
hey, the devs probably thought he was a more legitimate games journalist after that.
Hey, I am a legitimate.
That's true. Games journalists suck at games.
Who those can't do, they teach, right? I can't.
Now, Andy, you're going to have to take up Charles's slack for this.
What? What did I do?
Because the big thing was Final Fantasy VII Rebirth got a new trailer and a release date. February 29th, 2024, Leap Day. Really taking advantage of that once every 4 years day.
Yeah. This is a once every 4 years kind of game, maybe. Yeah.
Andy, tell me about how you feel about the new Final Fantasy. Derek, do you care about Final Fantasy? I don't really know.
I am a fan of Final Fantasy, and this part one was a little too close to Kingdom Hearts for me, so... If you wanna,
damn you, Nomura.
Like, he's got his style. I respect it greatly. But whenever I just sit there thinking, what the hell? More than how much I'm enjoying story beats, I lose it.
I didn't know you like... I'm learning so much about you, Derek. I've known you for 10 years.
I like that's what we do in this podcast. Seven. We learn about each other.
But Andy, I like 9 more than 7.
Oh, okay. God. Oh, okay. Well, this is why we never talked about it. But
don't worry, Derek. You and I can share the opinion of liking the wrong Final Fantasy.
Oh, God. So, Derek, does that mean you played the original 7?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Derek, well, how did you feel about Rebirth? Because I lost it.
I did not play it because I don't have a PS5 and...
It's on PS4.
It ran poorly from what I heard.
If you didn't have a pro, it wasn't the best.
Oh, that's fair. I had a pro.
And without getting spoiled, I heard enough of the theme changes that made me not want to try it myself.
It is on Steam now, Derek.
Yes, I know. And it's not on my wish list, but I look at it every now and then.
Derek, play it.
Well, it is pretty good. Derek, I mean, as a casual Final Fantasy fan, I thought Rebirth was pretty good. Or
Remake.
Oh, yeah, no. The gameplay looks absolutely just fun.
It is, Derek.
Anyway, all right.
We're going to fight about this later. But Rebirth, the sequel to Remake. What's that?
Oh, I lost you for a second there. Keep going.
Am I still here?
Yeah, you're here.
Okay. All I was going to say is Rebirth looks like more Final Fantasy VII. Like, it's got all your favorites. It's got Costa del Sol. There's a meme now around Cloud riding around on a Segway.
He was riding on a Segway.
It's weird and bizarre and funny. We got Cosmo Canyon. We got Golden Saucer. We got Junotown. I think it was called Junotown. I'm a fake fan. You've got Kate Sith, you've got Vincent, you've got everything. Like, it feels like more, and it still looks goofy, because everything we saw else of Rebirth was like Cloud and Sephiroth running around a barren field. And I'm like, oh God, this is open world. I don't want this. I don't care about fields. That doesn't make me feel good. But this just looks like more Final Fantasy VII, and I got so hyped. I'm pumped. I'm ecstatic, but I have to admit to you guys, I had a fake fan moment. With the original, I pre-ordered the super mega first class soldier, give me all your money edition. Came with a beautiful action figure of Cloud and the Hardy Daytona, blah, blah, blah. I did not pre-order the most expensive edition of Rebirth.
You know what? That Sephiroth statue.
So the Sephiroth statue, so for people unaware, the super mega expensive is like $350. It's Sephiroth with his one wing out. I'm pretty sure his wing out. I don't remember. And he's standing on a thing and there's like flames or whatever. And it's a sweet looking statue. It's a big statue. I think it's over a foot tall.
Well, that Cloud one from the first one's huge.
It is. So those are like the normal size for like PlayArt's Kai. That's what Square calls their figurine line. And the action figure of Sephiroth that I already have and already spent too much money on looked pretty much like the statue.
So you already have a Sephiroth.
Yeah, I basically have one. Also, I think I'm that guy now, or I don't know if I think I prefer action figures to statues. I think I'm that guy.
What's and the Derek, difference between action figures and statues?
Articulation. An action figure, you can... not really pose. An action figure is not really meant to be displayed unless it's like on a stand.
What are you talking about?
Are you talking about an action figure or are you talking about a model with articulation?
Oh God, Derek's schooling me. Stop.
So yes, I may not be big into video gaming in general, but I am the biggest weeb in our group here.
That is true.
Fine. It's a model with articulation.
Thank you.
If I'm spending $170 on it, it's going to be... Well, I can't call it an action figure, I guess. It's an elevated whatever.
Oh, no. No, my mental image was you sitting there on the floor playing with Cloud, punching the Sephiroth statue. So if you want to create that mental image, keep calling them action figures.
Okay. All right. Ooh. I'm the casual. Thank you, Derek. You're more of a statue person. Right?
Yes. Ball joints are ugly.
No. Listen. Yes.
I don't like ball joints either.
Your mind just doesn't see them. And then you get to pose them in so many cool things. Regardless, all I meant to say is I didn't buy the most expensive one, so I'm not the biggest Final Fantasy fan, and it kind of hurt.
Andy, so is there anything... So as Final Fantasy VII is not very, like... constantly in my mind, was there anything in this trailer story-wise that stuck out to you being like, oh, are they changing this?
So they, in terms of changing, no.
It seemed pretty straightforward.
It seemed like,
I mean, other than Zach is still alive.
Yeah, that's kind of a given.
Yeah.
But no, it looked like it hit all the beats. Yeah. And I,
were there segues in the original one?
No, not that I remember. I don't think segues existed.
No, they did not.
They're obviously building on everything. I don't know. It just looked like it hit everything, whereas all the other Rebirth trailers looked nothing like the rest of the game. So I'm here for it all. And I'm here for them to change it too if they want. I'm here for all of it. But I'm excited for Golden Saucer. I hope Aerith chooses me for the date portion. And we'll see. She always did when I played the original.
Derek, did this stir anything in you to play it more, or is she still at the same level of like, eh?
Like, this trailer is probably 100 times better than the original remake trailer and getting me excited.
Ooh.
It's actually showing.
You have to play remake first, otherwise nothing will make sense.
No, I'm sure some VTuber will play it for me.
Oh, yeah. Derek is also our VTuber expert. So
Derek is the one who got me into Crony. Longtime listeners will remember
your brief love affair with Crony. Yeah.
My brief love affair with Crony. That was because of Derek.
And I'm so proud of you that you recognized the warning signs of being parasocial and you stepped away.
Thank you. Aw, I appreciate that.
Because it could have gotten bad if you just gave that donation and all the happy chemicals started flowing.
Oh, isn't it, though?
I just really wanted her to say my name.
I understand, Andy.
And it never happened.
Speaking of parasocial relationships, Ooh. Let's talk about the originator of them, Nintendo. Ooh. Nintendo's my best friend.
And Derek's, too.
That's right. My uncle works at Nintendo. It's an old joke. So there, you know, there's some heavy hitters in here, but just to kind of start with kind of the chaff, they showed a new racing game, Horizon Chase 2. It's an arcade style racing game, came out today, as in November 14th. And, new trailer for go ahead.
Yeah, and since you brought up racing games, F099 is available right now. It's sort of like Tetris 99. But 99 players enter the racetrack. Only one gets to win.
Oh, I was going to get there, Derek.
And Derek, are you going to tell me, too, you're a big F-Zero fan and I didn't know it?
I love F-Zero. Yeah. I don't know about Derek.
Yeah, I've still got it on GameCube. I never had it on NES.
Oh, that GX is like the hardest fucking game in the world.
Yes, but so many hours playing. It's so fun.
Yeah. I was one based SNES. On the...
Oh, yeah.
SNES one. Yeah.
But this one's based off that one, so it'll all look familiar to you.
All right. Yeah. So let me jump back. Let's do this one. Yeah. So F99, yeah. In the vein of Tetris 99. And what was the other one they did?
Did they do another one?
They did do another one, yes. What was the other 99 game they did?
Was it like a Dr. Mario or something?
No, it wasn't Dr. Mario. Nintendo 99 games. It's all going to be fucking F-Zero.
Oh, was there a Pac-Man one?
Was it? Yes, it was Pac-Man 99. Yes, it was. So in the vein of Pac-Man 99, Tetris 99, now there is F-Zero 99. As Derek said, you are racing in the classic F-Zero style battle royale. And it looks super cool. I haven't played it yet because, again, I have too much fucking stuff to play. And as is with Nintendo, these are timed events because Tetris 99 is gone and Pac-Man 99 is gone. Taking away Tetris 99 thing is the worst thing they've ever done. That was the best fucking game in the world.
Why did they take it away?
It costs money to keep hosting it. And these games were free with the Nintendo Online subscription.
Yeah, so I mean, they have to pay a fee to the Tetris company, too, probably. Andy, did you watch Tetris on Apple TV Plus yet?
No,
you should. It's a great movie. Next, they showed a new trailer for the new Prince of Persia game that we talked about playing at PAX.
Yeah,
Tomb Raider remastered 1, 2, and 3 coming to the Switch. Super weird.
I need to talk about this.
Okay, make it quick because we're running late.
biggest Tomb Raider stan in the world. I don't know why we need this. Okay, just release the originals. Don't doctor it up. It's like one of those things where it's they basically took the first three that
really just turned the anti-aliasing up.
It's pretty much they like threw in a new character model for her and then like gussied up the textures a bit, but it looks like you're looking at a PS1 game playing. Like the animations still look bad. Like everything looks like a PS1 game. Well, so all of the charm is gone.
Well, it's there to make you think of the old game, Andy.
It just doesn't make it palatable. It just makes the game look dated. And like I think there's some type of, because you're seeing like stuff too now. Like there's the Bloodborne remake into PS1. There's like a lot of survival horror games being made with PS1 graphics. There's like something nice to it. It's its own type of style, kind of like how Dreamcast has its own type of style. Mm-hmm. And to take that away, I don't know, you guys. Maybe it's another boomer moment, but we don't need this. We don't need, like, they made Tomb Raider Anniversary, which was just a remake of the first one, and it was great. Just do that. Just do that.
You want money, Andy.
I'm so conflicted. Anyways, I don't want it. I don't want it. This isn't what I wanted. Go ahead.
This isn't the future Andy wanted. Mm-hmm. In another entry in that they're running out of names for games, Atlas and Vanillaware brings you Unicorn Overlord, which is a tactic style game.
They're making a bold claim. I think they're like talking about like they're reinventing or bringing back strategic RPGs or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine.
Honestly,
here's the thing. The game does look very cool. It Unicorn Overlord makes me laugh intensely.
I guess 13 Sentinels sounds kind of dumb.
Hey, excuse me. 13 Sentinels : Aegis Rim.
Thank you. I was forgetting the second one. That game was fantastic.
Yes, and it was.
When I was seeing this, I was like, well, I just wanted more of the other. Like, I just want more 13 Sentinels. So hopefully this one has a real good story. I don't know if it will.
I mean, Alice usually makes good stories, so.
They do, but 13 Sentinels was something special. You can't do that.
Next up, weirdly, oh. I didn't... a Spy X Family game is coming to Nintendo Switch where you play as Anya in this life simulator game.
Derek, as a resident weeb, what's your take on this?
So, Nintendo has really taken it upon themselves to become the, not dating simulator, but the route and text-based game. And they've taken it upon themselves since the Vita has no longer... been supporting them, and Sony's shifted away from porting them over as often.
Weird ass anime games, yeah.
Well, even like the visual novel kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, visual novel, that's the term I was looking for. So it looks like it has some visual novel elements and some very basic like adventure
mini games, things like that. Also, if you're not aware, Spy X Family is a fantastic manga and anime where a spy and an assassin raise a telepath daughter while all three try to hide their identities from each other.
It's real great. Way better than it should be. It's incredibly endearing. Yeah. And but Anya's my least favorite part of that show.
Oh, I love Anya. She's cute. Fair.
But guests, if you don't want to look and be embarrassed out in public, call it Spy Family. You don't
wait. What? How do I get to
this is the Hunter thing again?
Yes, exactly. It's listen, for style and the title, not for being pronounced.
Derek, listen. Polygon.com lists it as Spy X Anya Operation Memories. So that X is not a style thing, it's in the title.
Do you not say the X?
You're not supposed to. This is like Hunter X Hunter.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's I thought its real name was Hunter X Hunter. Why would you put the X?
Because
we don't have time for this.
This is important, and we have an X.
Andy,
podcast in 59 minutes. We don't have time for this.
Andy, I'll show you pictures after, okay?
Okay, thank you.
And then quickly, in another entry in, man, the Nintendo Switch is really on its last legs. Luigi's Mansion 2 HD version will be coming summer 2024 with four-player co-op.
That was the one on 3DS.
Yes, that was the 3DS one.
It was very good.
They also demoed Princess Peach Showtime, the game they hinted to at the last Direct, where it seems to be kind of like a 2D adventure game where Peach can transform into different costumes to give her different fighting styles. They showed a sword fighter Peach in there. This game looks... Peach. Oh, did they show Investigator Peach too? Yeah, you're right, they did. It game looked really actually cute. Like, I liked it. And, I mean, Nintendo, they know how to do a 2D game, so...
Yeah. Yeah. And it's all styled around being on a stage.
Yeah.
So it looks like a stage play. It looks so creative and so fun. It'll probably end up being like kind of like an easy game, I'm guessing. But
so my take,
it's going to be a blast.
My take from it is this is going to feel a lot like a 2D of the latest Kirby game.
I was thinking that too. I got big Kirby vibes from this game.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's kind of like I think I was going with like the difficulty, like it. But I'm hoping there's like that angle too that like give me three hidden things to find or something, right? Like add a little bit more, and they might do that. But that was one of the highlights for me was the Peach one.
Yeah, I'm more excited for this game than I was when they originally announced it. So next, they showed another trailer for Super Mario RPG. How are we feeling, Andy? Like it yet? No, still hate it.
I'm starting to warm up to it.
Starting to warm up. Okay.
Yeah, and well, to be. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I only meant to say, to be fair, the seeing the trailer gave like more nostalgic hits, and like seeing the enemies, blah blah blah. The music took me back, and I was like, okay. And they showed the door. I'm pretty sure it was the door, but they showed the door that traditionally had that Final Fantasy boss behind it.
Oh, so
they know what they're doing. I'm pretty sure it was that door. But so honestly, I'll probably play it now. Squishy, creepy Mario no longer bothers me.
And they also showed a new expansion pass for Splatoon 3, where they added a basically roguelike game called The Spire of Order, which is super weird and actually kind of interesting. You should look into it if you are interested in roguelike games. Next, they announced a brand new game, Mario versus Donkey Kong.
Isn't that a remake?
A super weird game. Like, do either of you know the original Mario versus Donkey Kong?
Uh-oh. Am I still
here? So,
can you hear me?
Yeah, you are, Andy. My knowledge begins and ends with it's a platformer.
Yeah, it was a... In the original one, you mostly kind of played as like this weird Donkey Kong or like this weird toy Mario. So it's instead of being kind of like a Twitch platformer, it's more like, say, where you're trying to solve puzzles on the map.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Okay. So that's what it is.
Yeah. You're not necessarily like trying to like get from A to B. It's more like you're trying to figure out how to make the being able to progress by like hitting switches and collecting keys and things like that.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a weird game for them to bring back, but sure.
Yeah. That was like on the Game Boy Advance, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
I will say
that February 16th, 2024. Go ahead, Derek.
I will say the thing I am most excited about this is the possibilities in the next Mario Maker with puzzle levels being a thing. Like,
yeah.
Ooh, I can't wait to see the absolute cruelty of humanity come forth with the impossible puzzles, which... The makers have to beat, so I know it's not impossible. It's just impossible for me.
Sometimes they still take out those super hard ones too. Like they'll be like, "This is too hard. We're taking it down."
That's a good point. I didn't even think about that being wrapped into a new Mario Maker, but that would be awesome.
And then the biggest surprise of the Direct, So we're all excited. Hey, they're bringing back Super Mario RPG. I bet that means they'll bring back Thousand Year Door maybe in a couple years. Wrong. They're bringing it back next year. I was like, holy shit, Nintendo. All right. They are remaking Paper Mario Thousand Year Door. And they're using the engine most likely from the latest Mario, Paper Mario, which is the Sticker Star game that was on the Wii U, that was honestly terrible. I think I was the only one that played it.
Yeah, that's too bad because it looked so fun.
It's and then so good. It looks so good.
Yeah.
And they've really taken that entire style and just ported Thousand Year Door into it. If you're unaware about Thousand Year Door, like Super Mario RPG was the first Super Mario RPG game that came out. Most people hold that Thousand Year Door has the best story of the Super Mario RPGs.
Oh, I didn't know it had like a following in that sense.
Yeah, I know most people love Thousand Year Door more than Super Mario RPG.
No.
But this is also my own bias because I never played Super Mario RPG. I only played Thousand Year Door. I have had that bias reaffirmed to me by several people. So.
Sure. Interesting. Well, I'm excited to give it a try. I own it on GameCube. I never played it. I just bought it off of like, I remember it was this kid who was like on 4chan and.
Okay.
It was weird seeing a 4chaner in real life. That's all I'll say.
Derek, are all these new Nintendo properties enough for you to finally get a Switch?
Very
it's cheaper
much,
than ever.
I think it actually is.
You know, I can give you my old Switch, right? Like you don't, like at any time.
I might actually have to take up on this after this Nintendo Direct because of all these.
I could probably sell that Switch for a lot of money because it's the OG model that you can like mod and shit.
Or you could give the gift.
I'll probably just give it to Derek because I don't have the energy to sell it.
That would be a lot of work. Sell it on 4chan. There you go. I didn't buy it off of 4chan, by the way. It was just a kid I knew who was a 4chaner. Looks like a 4chaner.
All right, Derek, I need you to start prepping this in your mind now. We're going to end the podcast. When we end the podcast, we say a fun little title in between our first and last name. That's something that we talked about today. So
wait,
start
does this
thinking
mean I don't
about
get to go
that.
Last?
Okay.
No, you go middle now, baby.
Oh,
you got
no.
Seniority. You have seniority now, Andy.
Oh. Okay, I've already got it decided.
Oh, shut right. up. Like it's that easy.
Oh, it is.
Well, we'll shame Andy Moore on another episode of Add to Party, a friendship simulator masquerading as a new show. I've been your host, James. Maybe Unity could have done a better job, Hartwell. And I've been joined by.
This isn't easy.
I'm going to make you go middle every time from now
on. I hate you. Andy, excited you're here, Derek.
Aw.
There we go.
That's sweet.
And I've been joined by
Derek, massive VTuber simp, Costio.
Easy, and that's fair. We did talk about your VTuber love.
We did, but he won't admit Crony's the best, so you're wrong. I'm sorry.
Another episode, Derek, Andy. Another episode.
We'll fight Derek, about this later.
Derek, I look forward to you skipping out before we get to episode 200 on me. Like everyone that I care about.
Oh, but then me and Charles can come for that episode, though.
The 200th anniversary reunion. Well, we've got 100 coming up.
We do. We're closer than ever because of that 3 episodes I put out.
Oh, that's true.
Well,
all right.
Good night, everyone.
Everyone, have a good night.
Good night. Good morning. Whatever it is where you are. Have a good one.
It's always night.
Gosh, darn it.
Bye.